Hi, I'm Steve, by the way. Brought along a few things here that we use as guidance. Now, I don't know, the younger ones might not even remember these, but you used to be able to get these at every gas station. You know, they're a map, and you could fold them out, well, a few more folds, and it showed you where to go. Now, they weren't perfect. They didn't show a lot of detail once you got to where you were going. They didn't show you a whole lot, but they did show you in large things. And they weren't perfect. They could be kind of dangerous, too, because once you folded them out, they seemed to cover a half acre and, you know, like half the windshield, half the side window. And the most dangerous thing as a driver was watching your navigator try to fold it back up. And I don't know if you can identify, but you were just itching to do it for them, you know, but you were driving, so you couldn't. But it was worse than a cell phone for distracted driving. Anyway, then they came out with neat little thingies like this. And, you know, they even tell you to pay attention, not to get too involved with it, not to mess with it while you're driving. Obviously, whoever programmed these knew a bit about human nature. Now, these things, of course, have their own flaws. They gave you a whole lot of detail. They're excellent at getting you where you want to go if you program it in right. You have to sort of watch how you program them. A couple of years ago, we were coming back from the play at Lancaster there, and I had set the thing to avoid toll roads. So all of a sudden, I looked at the time, and it was going to take us, I don't know how many hours to get home, and here it was going to take us around Lake Ontario to missed the toll booth at Buffalo at the border. So you have to watch these a little bit too. But, you know, sooner or later, they have the same problem that these maps do. They get out of date. And all of a sudden, you find yourself around the town, and there is roads there that these things haven't even heard about. And there is whole towns there that these things haven't heard about. So you got to keep updating them. Now, the last car we bought had one of these built in. But of course, they get out of date too. And even though I updated ours, I think it was last year yet, they don't show the new speed limits around town. They tell me I can go 80 when you can only go 50. And all kinds of stuff like that. Now, there's one thing, though, that we can always count on for guidance. And that is here, this Bible. You know, it will tell you exactly what to do and how to do it, how to live. You know, how to approach God, how to find your way to heaven. All the important things are in here. And you know what? The Bible never will get out of date. You know, some people want to tell you it is because it was written so many years ago, but it is still just as up to date as when it was written. And you know why that is? That is because there is two things that do not change. And one of them, of course, is God. God never changes. What God wants us to do never changes. You know, God's laws, God's directions, they never change. And there's another thing that never changes. And sadly, that's human nature. You know, sometimes we think we live in enlightened times and we're not as bad as people were back in the Dark Ages and we've got it all together. But you know, the human need for salvation never changes. When we are born into this world, we are born within nature. That is against God and against the things of God. And if left to our own, we wouldn't end up in heaven. We'd go the other way. And so God in his grace wrote this book for us to read. And in it, we can learn who God is, how God wants us to live, how we've messed up, and how we can get back to God. It tells us how the Lord Jesus came. Because God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that if anyone would believe in him, he would have everlasting life. You know, and that never changes. And no matter what happens to this world, what happens to the governments that come and go, and the nations even that rise up and fall, whole civilizations change. But God's word will never change. We can always depend on it. We never have to update it. We never have to get a new one, you might say. And Some people say, well, yeah, the language, you know, it's kind of old-fashioned. But, you know, old-fashioned is good. There's nothing wrong with values that never change. And so, as we live our lives, let's live them by this book. You know, in the Bible, we read in the book of the Psalms that unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. And you see so many people nowadays that struggle and strive their whole life, you know, trying to do the right thing. And they miss out because they don't put God first. So as we live our lives, let's live them by the book. And to do that, we need to read it. We need to get to know it. We need to study it. We got to make it our own. And then God's word, as God's word lives in our heart, then we know we can be assured to go the right way. Because God's way never changes. All right, that's my challenge for this evening for you.
Area to come and give us what the Lord's laid on your heart. And you may take your mask off up here.
It's a little better. Good evening, everyone. It's indeed a privilege to be with you this evening. I have to tell you, this is the first gathering that I've participated in physically since the pandemic was declared in the middle of March. I've been in a number of assemblies on Zoom and WebEx and some of these other things, so it's a little odd for me to say this is a little out of the norm this evening, but delighted to be with you this evening. And just sort of in keeping with a lot of the things that are happening around us, and just on the heels of that comment that I just made, I thought we might look at a psalm tonight and trust that we'll take some encouragement from what the psalmist has to say to us in Psalm 121. Psalm 121. Now, as you're turning there, Psalm 121 is a psalm that is in the midst of 15 psalms that are known or regarded as psalms of ascent. So Psalm 120 to Psalm 134 are psalms that are referred to as psalms of ascent. And it was a title given to these 15 psalms, and they're starting with the Hebrew word Shirmahamaloth, which means song of degrees. Some of you may have in your Bible at the beginning of each of these psalms saying a song, songs of degrees. It's also the idea of gradual or songs of steps or pilgrim songs. Now, these 15 psalms were psalms that were sung by those that were traveling to Jerusalem for the three great feasts. And they would sing them as they were ascending the hills in Mount Zion, or the steps to the temple. So you can look at these and consider them travel songs. You might call them songs for the road, songs for the journey of life. But the Jews, as they came into Jerusalem to celebrate these three great feasts, these were the psalms that they would recite and that they would sing as they were ascending up towards the temple. The psalms themselves, the psalms in general, lead us upwards, don't they, to God, as we go through this life and as we go on our personal walk with the Lord. A few years back, I remember I was on a trip to Israel on a tour that was led by our brother Gary McBride. And the latter half of the trip, we were based in Jerusalem. And so during the day, we would go out go out to various sites and so on. And at the end of the day, whenever we returned back to Jerusalem, the bus driver would put on the loudspeaker this hymn, this well-known hymn, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, lift up your gates and sing, Hosanna unto the highest, Hosanna to the King. And it was really quite moving as we saw Jerusalem loom before us in this stirring hymn filling our ears. And a lot of us would join in the singing of that hymn as we ended our day and came into Jerusalem. Just gave us a bit of a sense of what it might have been for these pilgrim Jews as they came to the temple to celebrate these three great feasts. And so if your Bible is turned to Psalm 121, we'll read all 8 verses of Psalm 121 together here. Psalm 121, verse 1. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, we bow before thee this evening. We're grateful to thee again that we have this privilege and opportunity to open thy word. And Father, as we've read these encouraging and comforting words from the psalmist, we do pray, our Father, as we consider it in a little more detail tonight, we pray that the Spirit of God would lift our spirits and encourage our hearts as we're reminded of thy love and thy providential care for us. So God, we pray you would lead us out in the meditation and the consideration of this beautiful psalm. We pray you would sense thy presence with us and encourage us, we pray, as we continue before thee. And we pray that all that is said and done would bring pleasure to thy heart and honor and glory to thy beloved Son, in whose precious name we pray. Amen. Indeed, I'm sure this is a psalm that's well known to many of us. It's an encouraging psalm. And of course, the psalm, really the overriding theme of this psalm, is God's providential care. And not just his providential care, but an encouragement for us to trust in that providential care. Indeed, we all need help in times of life, don't we? And certainly that's true of the time we find ourselves in now. Sure, if you're turning on the news, you know that we look around and even the world stage today, and there's a lot of turmoil happening around us today. And there's a lot of people that are suffering today because of what is happening in society today, and certainly through this unprecedented time, as we've heard so frequently referred to. And so certainly we need help. We realize, as we've been several months now into this pandemic, I'm sure many of us are realizing that the support systems that we've relied on, the support systems that we've taken for granted, are all buckling under the strain, and in some cases even crumbling apart. And really, we stop and we pause to remind ourselves of how frail life can be. And really, it exposes how vulnerable we are, doesn't it? It has, in fact, exposed our vulnerability. And it further reminds us that we need to look further. We need to look beyond the circumstances that we find ourselves in. History and current experience, of course, teach us that no safety plan, no insurance policy, no government program, no security system is absolutely 100% fail-safe. You can follow every protocol to the letter. You can take every precaution. You can put everything you can possibly think of into place, and things can still go wrong, can't they? Things can still go wrong. And so that reminds us again that none of us are safe. Not one of us are truly safe until we find our refuge in God and God alone. God is the only true and safe, secure place to be found. And really, Psalm 121 is all about trusting God and his providential care. And so there's no question that we need help today. And it's good to meditate on a psalm like Psalm 121 to remind us of God's care and his ability to provide for us. In fact, it's good to memorize psalms like this and portions of scripture like this and hide those things in our hearts so that when these times come upon us, sometimes without any warning, the Spirit of God has something to draw from within us to give us that encouragement, to give us that instruction, to give us that comfort that we need to help endure the difficult times that we might find ourselves in. Because as we go through this journey in life, there are many, many potholes that we're going to come across. And so we need the help of the Word of God. Our brother shared with us today about the fact that the Scriptures never change and that the Scriptures can be relied upon. And so we need to find our comfort, our trust, our encouragement in the precious Word of God. I'd like to share with you tonight just three truths that we find here in Psalm 121. Just as a little aside, truth, of course, when I talk about truth, I'm talking about that which is absolute, that which is factual, that which is genuine and authentic, that which is rooted and flows from God. You recall the scene in John 18 when the Lord Jesus was before Pilate. And Pilate said in cynicism and rhetorically, what is truth? And that was the question that he asked when the Lord Jesus stated that he was the one who had come to reveal the truth. And Pilate almost said in a scoffing way, what is truth? And of course, we know that kind of scoffing is happening even today. And we know that the concept of truth is under significant attack today. What is truth? So what I'm talking about when I say truth, I'm saying that which flows from God, is rooted in God, is absolute and is factual. And we need to know that so that indeed we can put our trust and our reliance in what these things are that we're going to consider tonight. Three truths that we're going to look at from Psalm 121. The first truth is that the Creator is your helper. The Creator is your helper. The second truth that we're going to consider together tonight is that the God of Israel is your protector. And thirdly, we're going to learn that the Lord will preserve you. So we want to look at these three truths as presented to us in Psalm 121. And I trust and I pray that it will encourage us, that we will find our trust and our comfort in God's care for our lives. So the first truth that we want to consider together tonight is that the Creator is your helper. This is considered in verses 1 and 2. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The first truth is the Creator is your helper. These are beautiful verses of Scripture, aren't they? And these are verses of Scripture that have brought comfort to God's people many, many times. This is a psalm that I often go to, that I often fall back to when I do visitation with some of the elderly folks in our assembly, or maybe people that are going through tribulation or some trials. This is a go-to psalm that I often refer to when visiting with those who need comfort and encouragement. In fact, a dear sister in our assembly told me that this was the first psalm she memorized as a little girl in Sunday school back in Belfast many, many years ago. Many quote these verses in times of need. And as we look at these verses, they tell us something about God and His help. The first thing we want to think about is that it encourages us to look beyond the mountains to the God who created them. To look beyond the mountains to the God who created them. Mountains, of course, are symbols of strength. They're symbols of stability. We sometimes talk about mountaintop experiences, and when we refer to mountaintop experiences, we talk about the idea of being inspired or aspiration. And so we often think when we see mountains of these types of things. And often when we look at God's creation, it inspires us, doesn't it? But creation reflects the Creator. The God who made the mountains is even mightier than the mountains themselves. When we come to a hill, hills draw our eyes up to the top, don't they? We tend to look down when we're in trouble. We look downward, and our focus is on our troubles and on our problems. And it drags us down further. It narrows our focus. It narrows our perspective. And so we're being encouraged not to look down. We're being encouraged to look up. So when the Jews were coming into Jerusalem, and as they were approaching Jerusalem and specifically the temple, Jerusalem is set amongst hills. And so as they came in, their eyes would have naturally been drawn up towards the city, towards the holy city, towards the temple. So they were being encouraged here to lift their eyes up and to keep their eyes focused where God is. I remember a number of years ago, I was visiting in Scotland. And there's a pastime in Scotland that's called bagging Munros. I don't know if you've ever heard of this term. Munros is a Scottish term for something that's bigger than a hill or smaller than a mountain. Typically, they're small mountains that are about 3,000 feet or larger. And while I was in Scotland visiting with our family, I took the time to hike some of these mountains. And one in particular, I remember one morning I got up early, and I went out to the Pentlands just outside of Edinburgh. And I found the trail, and I was walking up along the side of the Pentlands. And I noticed as I was coming nearer to the top that there was a red flag flying on the top. And as I got towards the top, and eventually as I reached the flag, there was a sign there that indicated that this particular section of the Munro was where the Black Watch, a famous Scottish regiment, trained for deployment in Afghanistan. And they said to stay on the path. Now, as I returned back, I noticed that there was a number of signs along the path that said the very thing. And I remember thinking to myself, I don't remember seeing this on the way up. So the encouragement, of course, was to stay on the path because there was military training that had been taking place outside. And I'm assuming that the inference was that there might be some live ammunition out there. And so I was going up and I was sort of keeping an eye on to make sure that I wasn't slipping. So I wasn't necessarily keeping my eyes up as I climbed this particular Munro. So we are to be looking up. We must lift our eyes to look up at the mountain, but to look beyond to God, who is higher than all. And so, of course, once you get to the top of a mountain, you have a bigger perspective, don't you? The vista opens up before you, and things that you previously hadn't been able to see suddenly are present to you. And so there's some of these thoughts and these ideas behind the illustration that we have here. We need to look beyond the hills to the God who is higher than them all. And so as these travelers were coming into Jerusalem, they would have been singing one of these psalms. And they would have been coming onto a mountain. They would have been approaching the city of Jerusalem, surrounded by hills, and they would have been looking towards Jerusalem, but more specifically towards the Holy Temple, which of course was the dwelling place of God. And so that's the thought that is in these two verses, particularly for these Jews as they were coming into the holy city. They were being encouraged to keep their minds and their hearts and their eyes fixed on the dwelling place of God, where God was in the temple in the holy city of Jerusalem. God, of course, we know, is bigger than the mountains. And so we need to lift our eyes off the problems that we have and lift them towards God, who can help us in our time of need. Psalm 46 verse 1 reminds us that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And then in Psalm 90 verse 2, Moses wrote this about God himself. He said, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." So a reminder again that God is bigger than the mountains. He is the creator of the mountains. He is bigger than the mountains. And so we are encouraged to lift our eyes beyond those things and to focus upon him. The second thing that I would suggest to you that we are encouraged to be reminded of as we think about this first truth, that the creator is your helper, is that your help comes from the maker of heaven and earth. We know, of course, that the very first verse in the Bible, Genesis 1:1, reminds us that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Turn with me, please, for a moment to Jeremiah chapter 10, and we'll see what the weeping prophet said in this regard in verse 12. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 12. Jeremiah wrote, "He hath made the earth by his power, he hath established the world by his wisdom, and hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion." Your help comes from the maker of heaven and earth. In verse 1, it says, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help." Verse 2 says, "My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." What does this tell us? What does this remind us of? It reminds us, of course, that the God who is the one who created the heavens and the earth, who is our helper, has unlimited power, unlimited wisdom, and has a depth of understanding. He has inexhaustible resources to meet every need that we have. The whole world is in his hands. It is him who we are reminded by the psalmist is your helper. He's your helper and my helper. This one who created the heavens and the earth, who literally spoke the worlds into existence and upholds and sustains it by his power. This is the one who is our helper. The Creator is involved in his creation. The scriptures teach that God is involved in every detail of his creation, and that includes you and me. The Lord Jesus reminded us in Matthew that the very hairs in our head are numbered. That's how intimately interested God is in you and me. And that's how much detail he takes concern of concerning your life. The very hairs in your head are numbered. And he knows every detail concerning you. What a difference to know that God, who is the creator of the universe, is your helper and is your friend. So stop and think about that for a moment. Now, maybe some of us here tonight are wrestling with some fairly significant problems. Maybe some of us here tonight are under a real heavy burden. And maybe you feel like you don't know the end from the beginning. And maybe you feel like you don't know if you can go on anymore. This is something that this psalm encourages us and reminds us of, that God is bigger than our problems. When we're faced with difficulties and trials in life, I'm not minimizing or trivializing the difficulty and the pain of it, but we need to be careful that we don't dwell upon it to the point where we forget that we have a God who loves and cares for us, who has unlimited power and inexhaustible resources, and has promised to help us and to be with us. And so when we're struggling with a problem, when we're struggling with some difficulties in life, we need to hold it up against the God who created the heavens and the earth. And we need to ask ourselves, is the problem that I'm dealing with bigger than God? Almighty God. How big is your problem? And how big is God? So the first truth is that God, that Creator, is your helper. The second truth that we want to consider together tonight is that the God of Israel is your protector. The second truth is that the God of Israel is your protector. And this is taken up in verses 3 to 6. Now, I'd like you to note that there is a change of speaker here. And I suggest to you that it's the Holy Spirit that is guaranteeing the eternal security of those who trust in the Lord. So we're going to see there are some guarantees that are provided to us here in this psalm. The God of Israel is your protector. So not only is he the creator who is willing to be your helper, he is your protector. Now, in all 15 of these psalms of ascent, the name for God in all of these psalms is Lord, and it's spelled out in capitals. And the Hebrew word for it is Yahweh. Now, the name Yahweh of God, of course, is his covenant name with the people of Israel. And embedded and inherent to the name Yahweh is his faithfulness, his covenant relationship, and faithfulness to his people. Now, you and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we who call ourselves Christians, we are in relationship with the Lord God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And embedded in that, inherent in that, is his faithfulness to us. He is faithful. He changes never. The key word in these next verses, you'll notice, is keep. Some translations have it as watches, but the key word is keep. Now, the Hebrew word for that is shamar. Shamar. And with this word, it means to guard or protect. And it carries with it the idea of the eyelid. I know we're not supposed to be touching our face, so I'll just point. But it carries with it the idea of the eyelid. Now think about the eyelid for a second. What's the purpose or what's the function of the eyelid? The design of the eyelid is for the defense and the good and the function of the eye, isn't it? So we have a really wonderful thought here that is carried in this Hebrew word, the thought of the eyelid. Everything about the eyelid is for the functioning and the protection of the eye. So when you close, or you, when you open your eye, when the eyelid lifts, it allows light into your eye and it allows you to see around you. When you close your eye, it allows your eye to be rested and it protects your eye from any foreign matter getting in there. Now think about when you blink. Now, a lot of the times we're blinking during the day, probably hundreds of times without us even realizing it. And the eye is blinking away, keeping dust and foreign matter out of our eye, isn't it? Some of you children here maybe have staring contests with your grandparents or your brothers and sisters. Now maybe you lose, but remind yourself that the fact that you blinked, it's a reminder to you that God is there protecting you. Isn't that a beautiful thought? So the next time you blink, the next time you close your eyes, remind yourself that it is God protecting you. God is protecting us. That's the thought, that's the concept in that Hebrew word of shamar. So now the Lord is referred to as the keeper of the eye here. He is called the keeper of Israel. Now, the Lord also calls the church the apple of his eye, doesn't he? And so we have that idea that the Lord is the covering of the church. He is the protector of the church. And so that wonderful picture of the eyelid, it reminds us of that protection that God provides. Now, I mentioned here from verse 2 to verse 3 that we have a change of speaker. And I mentioned that there, as we go through these next few verses, there are guarantees that are being provided to us here from the Holy Spirit. So the first guarantee that we see in these verses is that he keeps you from slipping. He will not suffer, we read in verse 3, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He keeps you from slipping. Now, if any of you have been to Israel and been to Jerusalem, you've seen the hills around Jerusalem. Some of those hills are pretty jagged. And climbing hills or climbing mountains, can, if there was a slip, it could result in near disaster. And so this would have been something that would have been very cognizant in the minds of the Jews that are making the pilgrimage to Jerusalem for these great feasts. So it says, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. When we build our lives on God, when we build our lives on his precious word, as our brother nicely put to us earlier tonight, we are on solid ground. We have a firm foundation. Turn with me, please, to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, and we'll read to verse 23. Psalm 37 and verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. So there's the idea that we have here that the psalmist is telling us in Psalm 121. He will keep us from slipping. So there are no slipping for those who put their faith in Christ. There's an unassailable stability here that is put forth to us. The believer's foot is preserved from being moved. And again, there is no detail of your life outside of God's providential care. So your steps are ordered by the Lord, and he preserves you from slipping. The first guarantee is that he will keep you from slipping. The second guarantee is also found in verse 4, and that is this, that he who protects you will never slumber, never slumbers or sleeps. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. If we were to go back to 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 27, in 1 Kings chapter 18, of course, you know that the prophet Elijah was in confrontation with the prophets of Baal. And Elijah put that challenge to them in that confrontation. And one of the things that Elijah did in that verse was he mocked the worshipers of Baal, saying that your gods, where are they? Maybe they're asleep. Maybe they need to be woken up. We find ourselves today in a world that offers all kinds of things and all kinds of promises about what can keep you safe and what can keep you from slipping and what can keep you from getting into trouble. And sometimes we put too much trust in some of these things. And maybe some of us are putting trust in careers and education and maybe money and all of these other things. Well, just as I mentioned in my opening remarks, we have seen in a very short time that the systems that are in place that we have come to rely on are buckling now. And those things, and we're finding people that have staked their very lives and their very existence on some of these things are scrambling now, and they're suffering terribly. And so we're being reminded here that the one who protects us never slumbers or sleeps. He's always on watch. So why would we put in trust in something even less than that? God is always on watch. God is always constantly unwearied care about us. He is our guardian. Story is told of a captain of a ship who was sailing from Liverpool to New York at the turn of the century. And while he was making the voyage, he brought along with him his 8-year-old daughter. And during one of the nights of the voyage, a terrible storm came up very suddenly and threw the ship into chaos. And people got up out of their beds and they ran out into the deck and they were crying for help and all kinds of things. At one point, the little girl heard all the commotion. And she went out to deck to find out what was happening. And some of the people were telling the little girl that she needed to get to the lifeboats and all of these kind of things. And the first question she asked was this. Her father being the captain, she said, "Is father on deck?" And people rushing by were saying, "Yes, the captain is on the deck." And the little girl immediately returned to her quarters and went back to sleep. "Fear not the windy tempest wild. They bark, they shall not wreck. Lie down and sleep, O helpless child. Thy father is on the deck." The guarantee that the one who protects us will never sleep nor slumber. He also guarantees that he will be close beside you. We see that in verse 5. "The Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand." The Lord is the shade upon your right hand. Psalm 16:8 reminds us that I have set the Lord always before me. He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. I like how the Amplified Version puts this verse. It says, the side not carrying a shield. So if you think about an ancient warrior, they would have had a shield in their left arm, and they would have been marching along with a shield on the right arm, their right hand being free to use their weapon. But of course, that flank would have been exposed. And so as you delve deeper into the interpretation or the translation of the words used here, we find that the Lord is protecting us, even those exposed flanks in our existence. He covers all the details. He protects us at all times. This reminds us in verse 6, that the sun shall not smite me by day, nor the moon by night. The travelers to Jerusalem would have been very aware of the dangers that would have been fraught for them on the journey. First of all, they make mention of the heat by day. Sunstroke was a very real possibility, heat exhaustion and all these kind of things. There was very extreme temperatures that happened in Israel. And so they would have been very aware of the extreme temperatures between day and night. There's also reference to the night, and they would have known about moonstroke, which is a very real thing. It's often associated with lunacy or demon possession. Sometimes we hear people say when there's some craziness happening in an office or something like that, you'll often hear people say, "Oh, there must be a full moon tonight." And that's where that idea comes from. Not only would there have been the extreme temperatures and all these other things that they would have had to face, they would have had to face bandits, wild animals, dangers day and night all around them. There's a beautiful thing that the Hebrew language uses here. And they often use the pair of opposite words to signify totality. And it's referred to as a merism. And it's a phrase that uses opposites, including both extremes, but includes everything in between. And so that's what we see here. God protects us during the day, and protects us during the night, and everything that happens in between. He helps us in the heat, in the cold, and everything in between. God helps us in every circumstance and in every problem. There is no extreme that we can find ourselves in and anything in between that he is not capable of helping us with. And then we find the third truth that we want to consider is found in verses 7 and 8. The Lord will preserve you. Now note in verses 1 to 6, the psalmist writes in the present tense. Now in 7 and 8, the tense changes because he's referring to promises in the future. But it's specific to this one overriding principle that we see in the psalm, and that is that God will preserve you from all evil. You remember when the disciples came to the Lord Jesus and asked them to teach them to pray. And he reminded them in Matthew 6:13, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And so the Holy Spirit continues with his guarantees here into verses 7 and 8. And now gives us the guarantee that he will watch over every aspect of life. He does not say that we will be spared from trouble in life, but that he promises to be right alongside with us. Of course, if we had the time, we would refer to those wonderful verses in Romans 8, 28, where we're reminded where all things happen for good for those who love and trust him. In verses 37 and 38, there were more than conquerors through him that loved us, and so on. So we have that guarantee that that evil will never win out. God's purposes cannot be thwarted. And then we're given the guarantee in verse 8 that he watches over every transition of life. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. This is a verse that was recited by the Jews when they came into their house and when they left their house. It was a reminder again of that constant protection that God provided to them in every circumstance, no matter the extremes and everything in between. It's usually the transitions in life that trip us up, isn't it? There's no question that we're in the middle of a very significant transition right now. They tell us the most significant transition since World War II with this pandemic. Usually things go pretty well for us when we're in our daily routines, isn't it? When we're experiencing our daily routines, things are going along well. It's the in-between times. It's when we have that job loss. It's when we have that unexpected illness. It's when we have that unexpected tragedy or that breakdown in relationship or whatever it may be that we usually start to struggle. It's that in-between time, and we're in a big in-between time right now. And so the idea of that Hebrew language, pairing those opposites to express totality, the comings and the goings and everything in between, whatever you do, the psalmist reminds us, wherever you go, you are safe because God is with you. And then another guarantee that he gives us is that he watches over you both now and forevermore. A wonderful promise at the end of verse 8. What an encouragement for us to hold on to tonight. The Lord Jesus said at the end of Matthew 28, verse 20, before he ascended into heaven, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. We're reminded in Hebrews that the Lord Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so God's promises in Christ, they will never change. God is our helper. He is our protector, and he will preserve us. So in conclusion, as we've just briefly looked at this wonderful psalm, we remind ourselves that we are pilgrims and strangers journeying on our way home to God. I don't know about you, but I'm feeling more and more like a stranger all the time as we see what things are unfolding in the world today. Psalm 121 is a wonderful psalm for the journey of life. You don't need to be anxious. We just need to be trusting in him. Three times we're told here in Psalm 121 that he keeps us. Three times we are told that he will preserve us. Nothing happens to us apart from God's sovereignty or his knowledge or his rule. You are under his protection. You are under his care. You are loved by him, and he has promised to do you good. You can trust him in all things and in all ways. So take comfort tonight as we consider just briefly this Psalm 121. Trust God in all things, in all details of your life. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. I trust that tonight you can answer from your hearts, with conviction. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Let us pray. Our gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, we praise and thank thee again for the privilege that's been ours to consider briefly together tonight thy precious word. We thank thee for the encouraging, comforting words from this precious psalm, Psalm 121. We pray, our Father, that in the midst of all that we find ourselves in today, the societal ills, the chaos that we find mounting around us, indeed, it seems, Father, the entire earth is groaning. We pray, our Father, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we would fix our minds, our hearts, and our eyes upon our God, and that we would derive our comfort and our encouragement from him. Trust, our Father, that we will be encouraged in knowing that thou lovest us and thou dost care for us, and that we can trust in thy providential care. So we ask thy blessing upon each one gathered here tonight. We ask thy blessing, thy richest blessing upon the assembly. And Father, we do pray thy encouragement as we go forth in the days going forward. May we just trust in thee, O God, and not be discouraged by the things we find ourselves happening around us, but that we would rest in thee. So, Father, we just pray your blessing upon us as we part. We ask these things, giving thee thanks, in the most worthy and precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you for your time this evening. It's been a pleasure being with you tonight.